This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Across the globe, young women and girls are being forced into the sex trade. UNICEF estimates that 2 million children are exploited annually, and human trafficking is one of the largest human rights violations in the world. And even for the lucky few who manage to escape and get help, the future is bleak. Without marketable skills, they may feel that they're forced to return to prostitution. A project started by a Raleigh artist hopes to change that. Sydney Shear teaches jewelry in jewelry design in Kuala Lumpur. She founded the Alchemy Project to teach young girls jewelry making skills. Welcome back, Sydney. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me back.
Tell us more about this project. What do you do?
Well, it began with the Sustainable Design Project for our Bachelor of Design students. And I really wanted to make this a meaningful project. And making jewelry out of water bottles just didn't cut it. So I thought, what can we do to advance sustainability for jewelry design? Because the other issue is that if you're a jewelry artist, sustainable is not really a possibility because of the materials we use pretty much rape the earth. So in thinking about this a lot, I realized that human capital is a sustainable commodity, more so than water bottles. And I had met two young women in Cambodia on one of my many trips in, and they were about 11 and 12. They were sisters, and they were prostitutes. So once I got over wanting to clobber their mother, who had put them into prostitution, I realized that that judgment is arrogant because I've never starved. And you do what you have to do to not starve. So I thought, what can we do as a class to create a better scenario for these young women? So we began the Alchemy Project. And all of the students researched different countries, different iconic cultures, and imagery within these cultures that we could go into any country and teach sustainable design of making jewelry with very little technical ability. So we're teaching the students how to saw and pierce and drill and file and bend things. But they don't need power tools. They don't need fossil fuels. They don't need anything but their sweat equity. And in the project concept, everybody going in would give a student a toolbox with just very basic tools that can be replenished in their own country. So the students have to research tool availability and NGOs and all sorts of things to advance this concept of volunteer college-age tourism. So the part of the problems with NGOs is they get bogged down in funding and this and that. This doesn't happen with the Alchemy Project, because we're really relying on this mass of tourism and college-age students who might want to donate 3 to 5 days and go in and teach jewelry. They can go in and teach sewing. They can teach drawing, anything that will give an economic alternative to these young women so that they don't have to return to prostitution.
And when it comes to jewelry, what kind of material then do you use?
We bring in small pieces, many pieces of brass, copper. We can bring in aluminum, things that are inexpensive and readily available in their own countries.
How do you prepare for the trip?
Well, all the students work on copyright-free designs. So that if somebody else, say from Duluth, wants to go in and go to a country and do this, they don't have to come up with the imagery and the designs. And that can be a real discouraging concept for people and make them afraid to go in. So we've already done the research. We've got these designs. And what we found is that the girls also wanted to create their own designs. They love doing that. So that was wonderful. But we provide all these opportunities for anybody wanting to do this. The only trouble we've had is that it's remarkably difficult to connect with an NGO. They're non-responsive, and it's sort of hard to understand why, but we're trying to break through that barrier.
What's the relationship with the NGO? Can't you just go in and do this?
No, because first of all, they have to protect the young women, and that's okay. We were vetted by Interpol before we went in, and I appreciate that these girls don't need any more trauma in their life. But The NGOs, largely, every time we write to them, we get very few responses back, and that's been the breakdown in this whole process.
How long do you spend with your students? I mean, you know, jewelry. You teach jewelry making at a university level. It's not that easy. How much time do you spend with the students?
Oh God, every day. It's a very comprehensive, very in-depth program.
So. Weeks, months, years?
Oh. Minimum 2.5 years. If they go in for their bachelor's, it's usually 4 years.
But I mean, the students that you teach.
The rescued girls. Yeah. No, we're only working with them about a week. So it's all day, every day.
Well, how much can you get done in that time?
You'd be surprised. Because we're teaching very simple technology. We're doing it repetitively. So We're teaching them how to transfer designs to metal, how to drill it, how to saw it, how to form it. And once again, these are very simple techniques so that they could set up with literally on a box outside of a temple and make things. And when you go to these temples like in Cambodia or elsewhere, kids are always running around trying to sell you things for a dollar. And what we're doing is offering an opportunity. What if a customer comes up and says, well, I'm going to tour the temple and I'll be back in an hour. What can you make me? And they can sell it for $5. In Cambodia alone, the average income, annual income, is $400. So if you can multiply 5 times, say, 8 hours, that's $40 a day. That's a windfall, you know.
Well, so that does raise the rest of the sort of supply chain question. I mean, the creative art is one thing, and that's what you can teach in a week. But you do have to figure out how you're going to get a regular supply of materials, how you're going to replace your tools, and then find a market. What happens
Absolutely.
To that part?
Absolutely, and that's a really great question. And it's something we research before we go into a specific country. And for all the countries that we have researched, because each student gets one country to study and develop designs for iconic imagery or architecture. We find out what tools are available in that country and what materials are available. So it's not a surprise.
And about marketing, the idea of going to the temple or where to sell or how to sell?
That's what it would be. And hopefully they can develop these cottage industries with the added bonus that in and of itself it's sustainable, so that if they know other young women who are getting rescued out of trafficking, then they can join their small businesses.
And of course, you can probably at this point describe some of the challenges for these women to make their way back into a community once they've been identified as prostitutes.
Well, they've largely lost their community because the borders are very porous. And typically what happens if they're stolen or sold into this network of human trafficking, they are slipped through borders. They no longer have family. They no longer have documents. I even met a little boy who had crawled his way back from Thailand because his leg had been damaged. He was an agricultural slave. And he realized that when his leg got injured, a bullet's much cheaper than medical care, and he would be shot like he'd seen happen. So he crawled back to Cambodia, and another NGO that I'm attached to, they nursed him back to health, and now he works there, and he's doing very well. But it's very hard to repatriate these children.
So what kind of results have you seen? Has anybody gotten into the jewelry business?
Well, I know that Sanoa has been breathtaking, Sanoa NGO. They've already worked with jewelry for their rescued girls. They're teaching them how to primarily bead. So we're adding to that technical language for them. I left Malaysia for a little while, and then I also left the college to work on the chariot. So then when I came back, we're resurrecting the program. So we're just getting it underway again.
The chariot is the silver-plated chariot, which we had you on the program not long ago, an amazing project in its own right. Well, two of your students, Sydney, are with us here today by telephone from Malaysia, two students in the Alchemy Project. Hanson Fong went to Cambodia with the first Alchemy Project trip and worked with trafficked girls there. Hanson, welcome to the program.
Hello. Yes, thank you.
And Easy Mazwi Muhammad Arif is preparing to go to Cambodia with the project this year. Hello, Easy.
Hi, Frank.
Hello, Hanson. Let me start with you because you've been on a trip now. What did you expect before you went on this trip? How did you expect things would go, and what did you expect to happen?
I expect I will be able to teach the girls something and then educate them, and then hopefully they'll get some some experience on doing jewelry, and then they can utilize their experience and work on it. Something like that.
Seems like a pretty daunting challenge, you know, to try to teach jewelry making in a week. How quickly did the girls pick it up? Were there any surprises for you when you actually began the project and once you actually met the girls and started working?
For me, it was a surprise that they learned very quickly, maybe because of they are still young and they are very quick in learning. And then second thing, they are very patient in listening to my guidance. So it's not very difficult in teaching them basic skills on doing jewelry.
Well, I know Sydney said that it was pretty quickly in the project, the girls will take the designs that you bring and then want to make their own. Did you find that happening, that they were enterprising their own designs pretty quickly?
Yeah. They are very quickly adapting to it, yeah.
Well, Easy, you researched for this project. You haven't gone into it yet, but you've done some research. What's the most interesting part of the research for you so far?
For me, is knowing about the human trafficking itself, and then knowing factors and characteristics of human trafficking and traffickers itself. So it's actually a very interesting fact, and knowing people, children as young as 7 years old and even my age, like being trafficked and being forced into slavery.
Why did you decide to take on this project and go on the trip?
Because I think maybe because sometimes in life we have to like always give back. So I would definitely love to share my knowledge and my passion in jewelry making with these rescued girls, and then knowing that probably it might change
Hansen,
something in their life.
Hansen, I wonder what it was like for you if you had not been exposed to women who had, or any human being who's been exposed to this kind of trauma. Was it scary for you in some ways, difficult for you to sort of think about meeting these women who had such trauma in their life and how you develop a relationship with them?
No, it's not very hard to accept because they are humans also, right? So just take it easy and approach them with positive thinking and to help them growing together, something like that.
Sydney, what have you learned from this project?
I have learned more than we taught. I discovered that this is where hope lives and that these girls are my heroes. I can't imagine going through what they went through and still have a hope for their future. They still believe in love. And I think that one of the things, the great joys and the gifts of the project, was towards the very end, that first time we went in, they wanted to make, when the guys first came in, they were not very eager to work with Hansen or Kailai because they didn't like men. They didn't have a good reason. They had a very good reason not to like men. But they had to, because we had a limited teacher pool. We had Nicole, Boa, Kailai, and Hansen, and myself, and in that first group. So they had to work with Kailai and Hansen. And by the end of the week, they were making them hearts. Mm-hmm. And I ran down to Linda, who was head of the jewelry project, Linda Lamb, and I said, they still believe in love. They still believe that they have a future. This is what hope is. And it was transformative for everybody involved. Sorry.
What are the biggest challenges for you if you wanted to scale this up or keep it going? Is it something that you think could be expanded? And what are the biggest challenges?
My goal is to make this a global initiative that is really self-funded. The only help people would need from us, if they are so desirous, is to get the copyright-free designs and to get the NGO support, because we really have to work with NGOs. We don't really need anything from the NGOs except for maybe a space to work. But without the NGOs, we can't get in front of the girls. And they need to have a protected environment. So we can't just go up to some girl on the street and say, you know, we'd like to work with you. I mean, that's impossible. So the biggest barrier right now is the NGO feedback for us. And I went out to dinner with the students when we were in Cambodia that time, and I asked one of the, we are all with a bunch of NGO people, and I said, and from different NGOs, and I said, why don't you guys respond to emails? And they said they're overwhelmed. They're overwhelmed with so much paperwork and so much this and so much that, that they don't have the time. They don't have the personnel. But that's the breakdown right now. And if we can advance this in a, on a much broader level, it's one of my goals to do a TED Talks, because I believe that if we can get this better known, then when NGOs hear the name, the Alchemy Project, they will be responsive. And we were written up in a magazine in Malaysia. That was a great beginning. But then I went on to work elsewhere with the Chariot. So then it's just sort of collapsed. So now we're getting it underway again. And it's my goal, like I said, to create this as a venue for volunteer college-age tourism. And it doesn't have to be college students. It could be you. You wanting to go into India again and do this work. And everyone has skills that they can teach that... And the crafts are the perfect medium, because people love crafts. People want to buy souvenirs when they're touring. It's the perfect venue for helping these girls have an economic focus and an economic alternative.
Well, Sydney, I want to thank you and your students for being with us on the program today. Sydney Scheer is the founder of the Alchemy Project. You can find out more about that at our website, stateofthings.org. Hanson Fong and Easy Mazwi Muhammad Arif are students participating in the Alchemy Project. Thank all of you for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.